Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 22, keep thyself pure. Keep thyself pure. Boy, that is a great admonition. Keep thyself pure. Well then, you and I are to keep ourselves pure, and the question is, how do we do this? First of all, you have to be made pure. And to get pure, you have to be saved. Look with me at Titus chapter 1, verse 15. Titus chapter 1, verse 15. Unto the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled, watch it, and unbelieving, is nothing pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. Look at it again. Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. Now I realize I am probably talking to somebody right now that's saved. And you're thinking, all right, then I've already been purified by faith in Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. But perhaps I'm talking to somebody who is not. What if you're not saved? It would be foolish for me to show you how to purify yourself and skip this major point. Furthermore, you may be dealing with somebody who isn't pure and you've been trying to help them with purity, and you've skipped the step that before they can be pure, they need to be made pure. They need to be saved. Look at Acts chapter 15. Look at Acts chapter 15. Notice when the Jews held a council in Jerusalem to discuss how to deal with Gentile converts, and Peter was explaining to them about how the Gentiles got saved at Cornelius's house. He said in Acts chapter 15, verse 9, verse 8 for the context, God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, watch it, purifying their hearts by faith. So when you get saved, the Bible shows you that your heart is purified by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, once you're saved, now the Lord has a pure heart to work with. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1, 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. The end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. So the law is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, according to Galatians chapter 3. In other words, once the law starts pointing you in the direction of Jesus Christ, the end of the commandment is charity, out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. That is, that faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that is not fake. So you see that at salvation, your heart is purified by faith. It is the end of the commandment. So that's why Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 5:22, keep thyself pure. In other words, when you get saved, God starts with purity in your heart, and he wants you to keep yourself, and he wants me to keep myself pure. Like David said in 2 Samuel 22:27, with the pure thou wilt show thyself pure. So when you and I get saved, God shows himself to us in a way where he is dealing with us as his children who have been purified by faith. With the pure thou wilt show thyself pure. So you understand that foundational to this statement in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 22, keep thyself pure. You've got to start with purity. And purity starts with salvation. Amen. Now, once you are saved, then you have to keep yourself pure because there are influences that will infiltrate again and cause you to be defiled, cause your conscience to weaken, and cause you to go back into sin and into impurities. And so how do you keep yourself pure? Well, the Bible's very clear on this. The first way to keep yourself pure is through pure words. That's right. To keep yourself pure, you keep yourself pure by pure words. The purest words in the universe are the words of God found in your King James Bible. Look at Psalm chapter 12 and verse 6. Psalm chapter 12 and verse 6. The words of the Lord are pure words. Now the verse goes on to say, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times, thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. So the words of the Lord are preserved. And the Lord has kept them. That's why I said there are no purer words in the universe than the words of God found in your King James Bible. The words of the Lord are pure words. And you're kept pure by pure words. Look again in Psalm 119, verse 140. Psalm 119, 140. Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. Isn't that beautiful? Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5. Every word of God is pure. Jesus Christ quoted Deuteronomy when he was responding to a temptation by the devil, and he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Every word of God is pure. And when you get God's words in you, they clean you up. Jesus Christ in John chapter 15, when he was talking to his disciples, said in verse 3, now are you clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. You see that the word, it has a cleansing effect. And the more of it you get in you, the cleaner you get. Jesus Christ, in praying to his Father in John 17, verse 17, said, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. You get God's words in you, they clean you up. They clean you up so much that what happens is pure words come out of your mouth. You know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, right? Well, if your heart is purified by faith in Christ, and you get pure words of God in you, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word. You get that in you, you know what's going to happen? That heart is going to change, and when it does, even your words are going to change. In Proverbs 15, in Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 26, the second part of that verse says, the words of the pure are pleasant words. You know what happens? You get purified on the inside, and those pure words come out of your mouth. So the first way, after you get saved, to keep yourself pure is by pure words, and those pure words are found in your King James Bible. They're the purest words in the universe. The second way to keep yourself pure is by pure doctrine. Pure doctrine. Look with me in Job chapter 11. and verse 4. Job 11:4. Zophar is taking exception to some things that Job has said. But what he says, or what he criticizes Job for in Job 11:4, is something you better think about. He says, "My doctrine is pure, and I am clean in thine eyes." Well, when you have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, now we're talking New Testament, not Old Testament, as we are here in Job, you are clean in his eyes. And when your doctrine is pure, it'll keep you clean. Pure doctrine. So once you get saved, you need to start reading the words of God, as we said in the prior point, and then you need to be under the good teaching and preaching of men who believe the Bible, men who teach and preach the right doctrine. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. When Jesus Christ went to heaven, when he ascended, he gave gifts unto men. And what he did is he gave, in Ephesians 4:11, some pastors and teachers. Well, what are we for? Verse 12, "For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." Verse 13, "Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." Watch it. "That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ." Do you understand that after you get saved, you will go through one of the most vulnerable periods in your entire Christian life? Right after you get saved, the devil always brings, or almost every time, brings somebody by with a false doctrine to trip you up. A charismatic that says to you, you've got to start speaking in tongues in order to prove that you're filled with the Holy Ghost, or a Jehovah's Witness that tells you his false doctrine, or a Mormon that tells you his false doctrine, or you'll get this inclination, you need to go back to the religion that has been sending you to hell this entire time and try to straighten them out. It's just amazing, like one preacher described, they're like vultures hanging up in the tree, just waiting for the birth of the calf or the birth of the little lamb. And then whoosh, they come down with their false doctrines to get you messed up with Calvinism, or messed up with, you know, the doctrine that you can lose your salvation, or get you messed up with a religion. And man, you got to be careful. So to be pure, you got to be saved. And after you get saved, in order to keep yourself pure, you got to get into pure doctrine. Otherwise, you're going to be carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Well, this is a very dangerous time in a Christian's life right after he gets saved. Some spirit will show up and start leading you, and you'll think it's the Holy Spirit. It's not. It's an unclean spirit. And the only thing that will reveal that you are being persuaded by an unclean spirit is pure doctrine. And that's not just reading the Bible, which is so very important, but that's getting it down and understanding what it says, what it teaches, the teaching of the Bible. So you keep yourself pure by pure words, and you keep yourself pure by pure doctrine. The next way you keep yourself pure is by pure wisdom. Pure wisdom. Go with me to James chapter 3. James chapter 3. And in James chapter 3, actually, there are two kinds of wisdom. The one that is earthly, sensual, and devilish, beginning with verse 14 and 15 and 16. And then there is the wisdom that is from above. And watch what James 3:17 says, "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure," pure wisdom, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. You don't have to be some special class Christian to have the wisdom that is from above, because it's not given to you with partiality or hypocrisy. It's available. If any of you lack wisdom, James chapter 1, verse 5 says, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. Now, there's a lot of wisdom to be found among professing Christians. If you go to a Christian bookstore and you're looking for wisdom, you're going to find all kinds of things there. But what I've noticed about so much of what is written, it does not proceed from the words of God. It proceeds from the wisdom of men who then go to the Bible looking for verses to back up what they've thought of. And when they find those verses, they put those out there. So the wisdom is not pure. It's man's wisdom. It is enticing wisdom that Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and 1 Corinthians chapter 2. As James chapter 3 calls it, earthly, sensual, and devilish wisdom. It feels right. It sounds right, but it's wrong. And you won't keep yourself pure with that kind of wisdom. You won't. Oh, you may get some good ideas. People have gotten some good ideas from reading a lot of the modern literature. I'm not saying that you won't pick up a point or two that you might find helpful, but boy, I'm telling you what. You're going to also pick up some stuff that won't be helpful. Somebody one time, many years ago, gave me that Purpose-Driven Life book, the 40 Days, the Purpose-Driven Movement. And I read those books by Rick Warren. And then somebody asked me to comment on those things. And I said, you know, there's a lot of good stuff in here. There really is, about being a servant and that kind of thing, being faithful. That's good stuff. But I said, there is poison. There is bad doctrine. There's bad wisdom interlaced in here. I'll tell you what one of the bad wisdom was. It is this. In the book, if I remember correctly, I'm not quoting now. Here's what Rick Warren said. He said, if you're having difficulty dealing with sin in your life, you've got a habitual sin, you got a stronghold in your life, and you're finding that the blood of Jesus Christ is not sufficient to cleanse that sin out of your life, then here's what you need to do. You need to get in a group, an accountability group, and you confess your sin to that group, and they'll hold you accountable, and you'll find the victory there. I thought, man, that right there comes from modern day psychology. That is not biblical doctrine. That is man's wisdom, not pure wisdom. And there have been more people that have gotten off track with that and have gotten messed up with that than have gotten help. You want to stay pure with God and keep yourself pure, then you got to go with pure wisdom. Pure wisdom, not the kind that the world gives you, but rather the kind that God gives you. Keep yourself pure by pure words, by pure doctrine, by pure wisdom, and by pure associations. Go back to our text, 1 Timothy 5, verse 22, where we started. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 22, Paul ends the verse by saying, keep thyself pure. But what does he say in the middle of the verse? He says, neither be partaker of other men's sins. In order to keep yourself pure, you have to keep away from men and women who want to sin. Now, you don't isolate yourself, because then you'll never have an effect on them. You'll never have an influence on them. You'll never be a testimony and a witness to them. You don't isolate yourself, but you do separate yourself. Solomon said, let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. Do you understand what he's saying? What happens is if you have associations with men and women who want to sin, you're going to want to sin, because they're going to come back and tell you about the party, and they're going to tell you about the liquor, and they're going to tell you about the worldly things that they have done, and those things are going to entice you. You're going to be curious your imagination is going to run with you, and you're going to be curious about those things, and you're going to think, man, they get to do things that I don't get to do. And you're going to begin to look at Christianity as a life of denial. And in fact, you know, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. There is denial, self-denial in the Christian life. But you go through self-denial in the Christian life following Jesus Christ by taking up your cross to find the abundance of life in Jesus Christ. Well, if you get sidetracked because you are enticed by sinners and you envy sinners, then your curiosity is going to lead you to go find out what it's like to get drunk, what it's like to party, like what it's like to do all the other things they do. And your impure associations are going to lead you into impurity. So the best way to keep yourself pure is to maintain pure associations. Make friends of God's people. And love God's people and hang out with God's people and enjoy clean fellowship. Keep yourself pure. How? Well, you get saved, first of all, obviously. And then that's how the Lord purifies you. And then you live with pure words, pure doctrine, pure wisdom, pure associations, and then this, pure thoughts. Pure thoughts. Philippians 4, verse 8. Philippians 4:8, the Lord gives us a great guide for our thoughts. Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, watch it, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things, whatsoever things are pure. Pure thoughts. You say, well, that's hard to do. Well, it is, because so many of us wrecked our imaginations with things that we saw in movies and things that we saw in, you know, images that we saw in magazines and images that we saw on the internet, images that you've seen in every other kind of thing, and then conversation about those things. And now all of a sudden your mind is riddled with impure thoughts. Well, after you get saved and you start thinking purely, impure thoughts will still try to invade your mind. And when they do, immediately stop them by the mighty weapons of God. Now, we're not going to stop this message to preach 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. We've already preached that message. You can find that information. We'll preach it again, but 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 and 5 say, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's what you need, is thoughts that are brought into obedience of Jesus Christ. Keep your mind filled with pure thoughts, and when impure thoughts try to invade your mind, immediately employ the weapons of God to pull down those strongholds, cast down those imaginations, and bring those thoughts into the obedience of Jesus Christ. Pure thoughts. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. If you let those thoughts run with you, they will lead to action, and you will be impure. And then keep thyself pure with a pure conscience. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3, Paul said, I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Pure conscience. Listen, basically what he's saying is this. Or if you want to live with a pure conscience, here's what you need to do. Don't defile your mind. Don't defile your conscience with bad things. Don't do those things again. In other words, if there's anything that you're doing or anything that you're thinking about doing that would wound your conscience, quit it. Don't do it. You say, well, I do such and such, and then I've got a bad conscience about it after I've done it. Well, then stop it. You say, well, it's hard to do. I understand it's hard to do. But get control of the thing. God's given you the grace. He's given you the blood of Jesus Christ. He's given you the Word of God. He's given you the Spirit of God. He's given you the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Don't say you can't do it. I know you can. The trouble is you don't want to do it. And in order to be pure, in order to keep yourself pure, you got to quit defiling your conscience and you got to quit crossing your conscience. You got to go do things that don't leave you with a bad conscience. Unfortunately, what's happened to a lot of people today is they've so seared that conscience, it's no longer a reliable guide. Well, if you get pure words in you and pure doctrine in you and pure wisdom in you, pure associations and pure thoughts in you, that conscience will strengthen again. That blood of Jesus Christ will purge that conscience from dead works to serve the living God, according to Hebrews 9:14. Then it'll be a good guide for you again. Now, you got to keep yourself pure. That's what Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 22. And you live in a society that is anything but pure. Teaching in school is anything but pure for the most part. The stuff on television is anything but pure for the most part. Stuff on the internet is anything but pure for the most part. Even stuff on talk radio that's conservative is in great degree impure. So you say, well, I like all those things. Well, you're going to have to police your life, because Paul said to keep yourself pure. How are you going to do that? Well, once you get saved, we're going to sum it up again. What you got to do is you've got to get in that Bible every day. You say, every time I hear you preach, I hear you talking about that. Well, because it's that important, and there's so many people that aren't doing it. Get in that Bible every day. And I mean, get enough of it in there where it'll wash you and cleanse you. Get under the right preaching and get under the right teaching of the Bible. There are so many people that are trying to live a good life, and they still go to church where the doctrine and the teaching are not true. And they say, well, but our friends are there. Guys, you're going to have to get a grip here, man. The Lord told you to keep yourself pure. Get under the right preaching and teaching of the Bible. Stay away from worldly wisdom and stick with the wisdom of God. Keep company with people who are pure and who want to be pure. I realize we're still sinners, but at least you want to be pure. Get with those folks. And then keep your thoughts on pure things and keep your conscience pure. You do those things, you know what? You'll keep yourself pure, and God will bless you when you do.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.